Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. Wow, we got a lot going on. And you have made the right choice to hang out with us today here on the Todd Starnes radio program. By the way, coming up in just a little while, we have some great, great guests. We're going to be talking to Congressman Mark Alford from Missouri. Has some new intel on Russia and China sending naval warships near Alaska. So we're going to be talking to him about that. Also, Congressman Matt Rosendale fired off a letter. Turns out that the Biden Department of Education has defunded hunting, safety, and archery classes at Montana schools. And we're going to talk to him about that. Also, big elections across America, including Mississippi. And very excited to introduce you to a gentleman by the name of Thomas Tuggle. Mr. Tuggle is probably going to be the next sheriff in DeSoto County, Mississippi, a very large area. About 250,000 people live in DeSoto County. And Mr. Tuggle, an African-American Republican, great American patriot. And we're going to be speaking with him. And did you see this crazy story out of Montgomery, Alabama, where they basically had a WWE free-for-all right there on the riverfront? It was insane. We're going to be speaking to Allison Sinclair, who is a co-host of Alabama Unfiltered Radio. Can't wait to have that conversation. But I want to start today with a story that came out late yesterday evening involving Congressman Daryl Issa. Now, Congressman Issa, a good and decent man, and he has been taking up the cause of Gold Star families, many of whom have felt disrespected, have been their loved ones dishonored by members of the Biden administration. And I don't know how many times we have seen this play out where Joe Biden, when he goes up to the family of a Marine who was killed in action, and he tells them that he knows how they feel because his son came home in a flag-draped coffin, when in fact his son was not killed in action. His son, Beau Biden, had cancer, brain cancer, a tragic death, but nowhere near what these Gold Star families are going through. So he has no idea what they're feeling and how they're feeling. But for some reason, Joe Biden at these events always makes it about himself. And it's off-putting, and something is wrong here. And I have a theory about that, but I want to play some of the audio from these families. Their loved ones were killed because of Joe Biden's decision to pull out of Afghanistan, the botched evacuation of the airport at Kabul. The first voice you're going to hear belongs to Kelly Barnett, and she gave testimony about her son, cut number 9.
The command cares nothing for us. My son, these 12 others left this earth thinking that their command cared nothing for them. The wounded feel that their command felt nothing for them. The survivors felt that their command felt nothing for them. I feel this as well. After seeing their friends die, picking them up off the ground, sending them off, then being told to destroy everything at the airport, they were told, you got to clean up the airport. We can't leave it dirty for the Taliban. They had to clean up the airport. What kind kind of disrespect? What kind of hatred for our military? What kind of mess? Confusion, deceit, lost, angry, sad, heartbroken, and disgusted. These are the feelings that the service members felt and are still feeling.
I can't even. I just cannot even. Then here's another mom talking about Joe Biden, and Biden lied to this woman's face. It's just cut six.
When Joe Biden, our elected president, entered the room, when he approached me, his words to me were, my wife Jill and I know how you feel. We lost our son as well and brought him home in a fog-draped coffin. My heart started beating faster, and I started shaking, knowing that their son died from cancer and they were able to be by his side. Also wondering how someone could honestly, be so heartless to say he knew how I felt a little over 24 hours and learning of my son's death. After this encounter, I have never had any personal correspondence, nor has my son been honored or his name spoken by this commander-in-chief or his administration. On what I feel is because of their failures and poor planning to exit our troops from Afghanistan.
Now, you have to go back to when the bodies returned to the United States. And Joe Biden went out there with his wife, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden. And they were standing there, and you might remember this, when Joe Biden looked down at his watch. He looked down at his watch wondering, how much longer do I have to stay here? You know what, Mr. President? You stay there until the very last soldier comes home, sir. If it takes 2 hours, you stand for 2 hours, sir. That's how long you stand. These are men and women who sacrificed their lives. They paid the ultimate sacrifice for this country. And the least you can do, you sorry, demented old man, is to stand there and show some respect. That's what you do, sir. That's what you do. But how many times have we seen Joe Biden coming off of Air Force One, and he doesn't salute the young men and women who are wearing the uniform of this country? How many times have we seen this happen? It just seems to me, again, that Joe Biden treats our military, the armed forces, the commander-in-chief, treats our military with great disdain. And these families see it. You can't pull the wool over anybody's eyes here. I want you to hear this dad. Cut number eight.
In closing, I'm calling out Secretary Blinken, Secretary Austin, General Milley, General McKenzie, Lieutenant Colonel Whited, who could not give the order to the snipers to take out the bomber before he detonated his vest, and ultimately the president. Do what our son did. Be a grown-ass man. Admit to your mistakes. Learn from them so that this doesn't happen ever, ever again. You all need to resign immediately. Our sons and daughters have more integrity in their little toes than every one of them combined. You owe it to our families here today, to the other Gold and Silver Star families that have gone before, and most of all, to the veterans who have given so much for this country so that we have the freedoms that we enjoy today. Thank you.
So look, here's the deal. Joe Biden hates the military. He does. You can speculate as to why, but he hates the military. Otherwise, he would be there. And he would be there for these families. He would be sitting there and not talking about his own son, but letting them tell their stories. That's what you do. By the way, Donald Trump did that. George W. Bush, he did that. They were good commanders in chief. But I will say this, that Donald Trump was the better commander in chief because he's the only president in modern American history that did not get us into an armed conflict. Thank you, President Trump. Everybody seems to forget that. But let's get real, because the establishment Republicans, they love the wars. And they love the wars, the establishment Republicans do, because that means their friends over in the military-industrial complex are making hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars. That's why they want to fight these wars. Can somebody else explain why we were in Iraq, for crying out loud? But I'm digressing right now. I want to get back to these families, because that's who this is real. That's who matters here. That's what this is really all about. But we have an ungrateful commander-in-chief. We have a man who looks down on the men and women who put on the uniform of this country. We're going to play some audio a little bit later on. Donald Trump actually went up to a wounded warrior and tried to shake the man's hand that had already been blown away. The man had an amputated hand. You know what? Let's play this. Let's play this now.
This, I was like, oh my God. And that's what I said. And the Secret Service dude just like beat red, like trying not to laugh. And I was like, this dude, like 2 minutes later, he walks in with him and
this
Jill
is Biden,
Biden,
not Trump.
And
Biden.
Their whole entourage of people and like a photographer. And right away, like, remember him coming up to me, trying to shake my hand, like, try to shake my right hand. And I look at him and I'm like, I don't have an arm. And my left arm is in this big ass cast with this giant orange foam block around it. I'm completely immobile. All I can do is move my head. My arm's gone. I'm like, I don't have an arm. And he says, oh, and like kind of stands up and then like goes over to reach for my fingers, because about an inch of my fingers are showing, and just like grabs my fingers. Doesn't greet me or anything. Just that's what happened. Just grabbed my fingers. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And, you know, almost immediately starts talking, like, about how their son served in the military. Doesn't say anything about what happened. Starts talking about how their son served in the military. And my mom is just like, she's furious at this point. And they're, like, taking pictures and stuff. And she goes... She was like, my mom said this. She was like, I don't give a fuck. Say, I don't care what you guys do. She's like, you better take care of him for the rest of his life. And, like, she said that. And I'm sitting there, and he comes over to me, and he leans over me. And I have a picture of this to prove it. I'll show you this picture that I have. It's a pretty funny picture. And he leans over me, and he's, like, this close to my face. And he's like, what do you want?
Said, what do you want?
Yeah, I said, what do you want? I said, what? He said, what do you want? And I'm just like confused. I just got blown up. Just saw my friends die next to me. I'm like, I just want to be myself. And he's like, huh? And my mom's furious. And she's like, he said he just wants to be himself. He just wants to be him. He said he just wants to be me. And he goes, oh, okay. And they just continue to talk about everything but what just happened. And then they just ushered him out of the room. He didn't know what to say. They ushered him out of the room, and that was that.
I'm usually not at a loss for words, but I am at a loss for words on this. The fact that Joe Biden, seeing a wounded warrior, a gravely wounded warrior, and he goes over to shake a hand that is not there, and then just treating the family with such disrespect. And that's the issue here, is that they're treating this family with such disrespect. It's all about the Bidens. It's all about Bo. That's all it's about. What is going on? Every time there's something involving the military, Joe Biden brings up his son and intentionally lies about his son. And I say intentionally lies, because the alternative is that Joe Biden is so riddled and his mind is so rotted with dementia that he doesn't even know. And if that's the case, could someone explain why that man is still in the Oval Office? And yes, I know it's because of Kamala Harris. I get it. But this man, to stand there and to lie to these Gold Star families is just appalling. And you know what? The moms are right. The leadership at the Pentagon, they should have resigned in disgrace, every single one of them. But they're not going to do that. And the reason why is because not even they care about these brave young men and women. They don't care. And we know they don't care because the Biden Pentagon is not about fighting wars. It's not about defending American sovereignty. It's not about killing the enemy and blowing things up anymore. No, the Biden Pentagon is about waging a social justice war on the soil of the United States of America. That's what it's about now. They're all about advancing this radical sex and gender ideology. That's what they're all about. And we know that because we've seen all the training materials. We know that they're teaching these soldiers and these officers that there's something called oppression in America and critical race theory. And they're teaching this within the confines of the United States military. That is what is going on here. All right, it's so late for a break. 844-747-8868 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, all that to say is that Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama, they hated our military. They despised them. And all you have to do is look at the interactions. When you go back and look at the videos, remember when Obama went to West Point and it was awful. People were, they were just not engaged at all. Whenever they would show up at a sporting event, there would be polite applause. But then look at Donald Trump. When Donald Trump walks into the room, look at what happens when you've got military personnel there. You've got the soldiers, you've got the Marines, you've got the sailors and the airmen, and everybody's running over trying to get a photograph, trying to shake hands with the commander-in-chief, Donald John Trump. They're cheering and shouting and chanting USA, USA, whenever Trump would walk into a room. That tells you who the military supports. By the way, there's some testimony out there, and I saw this last night. Someone sent me a copy of this video. And a woman is testifying that when they were counting the votes, it was interesting because the military votes, they were overwhelmingly in favor of Biden, and it made absolutely no sense to these individuals because they know how much the military, the rank and file, cannot stand Joe Biden. And I'm telling you, when this thing goes to trial, when the most recent indictment in D.C., when that goes to trial, folks, is it possible, is it just possible that we might be able to litigate the 2020 presidential election through that trial, that we could finally do what the courts initially refused to do? I mean, this could be a great big blessing in disguise for President Trump and everybody who thought that 2020 was stolen. Maybe we're going to be able to get the proof. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, well, there's been a big shakeup in the Ron DeSantis campaign. And I know that Ron DeSantis and his paid influencers on social media think everything is hunky-dory. Yes, I said it, hunky-dory. But it's not hunky-dory. The governor today, this is according to Fox News, the governor today replaced campaign manager Jenera Peck with a trusted political advisor who has worked with him for years but has little campaign experience. Again, this is bad news. So DeSantis handed the role over to James Uthmeyer. Uthmeyer was originally the chief of staff to the governor's gubernatorial office. Folks, this is part of the problem here, is that DeSantis does not have a professional staff running his presidential campaign. By the way, there's some brand new polling out of New Hampshire, which I find fascinating. This is from the New Hampshire Journal. And President Trump, of course, is in the top spot. But what I find fascinating is that Chris Christie is now surging in New Hampshire. According to the New Hampshire Journal poll, Trump got 43% of the vote. Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis are now tied for second place at 9%. How bad of a candidate do you have to be that you're actually tied with Chris Christie? I mean, that's horrible. Former UN ambassador Nikki Haley got 7%. Tim Scott and biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy got 5% each. Everybody else less than 5%. That would include Mike Pence, the former vice president and snake in the grass. A Real Clear Politics average of all the polling shows Trump is at 41.7%, DeSantis at 17.7%. That's when you put all the polls together. But anyway, it is not looking good. So DeSantis is on the decline. All the other candidates are on the way up. Now, for all of you Never Trumpers out there who threw in with Ron DeSantis, many of you are getting ready to jump to another candidate. By the way, it's not going to be Chris Christie. So the question is, who is that candidate going to be? And I suspect it could be Mike Pence. Anyway, here's a former senior advisor to Senator Grassley, and he describes what's really going on here. Cut 15.
Well, I mean, I think Ron DeSantis is really in Scott Walker and Jeb Bush territory here. He's bleeding campaign dollars. He's firing staff. And Ed Rollins, who runs a pro-DeSantis PAC, essentially is saying that he's a flawed candidate. And now if you dig into the facts here and you look at the polling, GOP voters in the New York Times poll and your Fox Business poll show by a 30-point margin that they trust Donald Trump going into a general election. And so they have a lot of really good reason to believe that, too. A Harvard poll that came up shows Trump up 5 on Joe Biden. And if you dig into the New York Times poll, they're locked at 43-43, Trump and Biden. But Donald Trump is gaining steam with black voters, with Hispanic voters. And that's a really good sign for Trump, a bad sign for Biden, obviously. And the last thing I would say is this. There was a Rust Belt poll that came out, which looks at Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. In that poll, Donald Trump is beating Joe Biden by 7 points, and Ron DeSantis is losing to Joe Biden by 3 points. So again, Donald Trump is not only trouncing in the GOP primary by 37 points in a New York Times poll, 30 to 40 points in other polls, but but he is obviously clearly the best choice here to go against Joe Biden. Right.
May I just say this? It's a good thing that Trump is in the race. I just don't think DeSantis would be the guy. He is not communicating well with voters, and his campaign mannerisms are really off-putting. It's just very strange, as the way he does his hands, the laughing, the weird laugh. That's weird, right? Nobody laughs like that. Nobody does that. I mean, come on. I'm just saying, something is just weird there. I'm not saying it disqualifies somebody from being president, but it sort of does, right? I mean, you don't want to cackle like that when you're trying to debate Putin. So anyway, you've got Biden out there, and his approval rating is in the toilet, as they say, a cut number 13.
The one indicator that's not changed is his approval rating, and in fact, his competitive status against Donald Trump if he's a Republican nominee. Our poll that was Siena College last week found that the president's still at that 39% approval rating. I think the average on 538 is around 41%. That's the lowest of any president at this stage going back through the history of polling, except for Jimmy Carter. That didn't work out well for him.
So Biden's done. There, stick a fork in him. But I'm not sure anybody's going to be willing to come out and throw in against Biden while he's still president and while he's still running. So the Democrats are in a world of hurt right now. But the Republicans are not far behind. And the question I would have for you, the great listeners of this program, who do you recommend Trump picks as his VP? I don't think it can be Ron DeSantis, and I'm not necessarily sure it should be. I'm not sure that DeSantis actually helps that campaign right now, because you're going to have DeSantis and his wife, and they are hungry for attention. They want the camera time, and they're not going to get that if Trump is the guy. So I think there's got to be somebody else out there for Trump. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, Carrie Lake, yes, but she doesn't have the experience. She was a TV anchor who supported Obama just several years ago. So I'd like to hear more of that story. I'm not saying that disqualifies anybody, but anybody who voted, any grown adult with a functioning brain who voted for Barack Hussein Obama, I'd like to hear their conversion story to the right side. And I think that's only fair. Is it going to be somebody from the Midwest, somebody like a Kim Reynolds or a Kristi Noem? Or will it be somebody from a state like California? I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be California. 844-747-8868, that is our number. That's 844-747-8868, but I don't think it's going to be DeSantis. And I'll give you yet another reason why. This was yesterday. DeSantis was asked by NBC News about whether or not Trump lost in 2020, cut 12.
Yes or no, did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Whoever puts their hand on the Bible on January 20th every 4 years is the winner.
Okay, but respectfully, you did not clearly answer that question. And if you can't give a yes or no on whether or not Trump lost, then how can
you? Of course he lost.
Trump lost the 2020 election.
Of course. Okay. Joe Biden's the president. But the issue is, I think what people in the media and elsewhere, they want to act like somehow this was just like the perfect election.
No, there's a way to answer that question without throwing Donald Trump under the bus. And DeSantis, he did not accomplish that. And this is why. The guy is just, he's easily, look, the debates, I think, are going to be bad for DeSantis. Because when he gets thrown for a loop, he loses control. And that's what happened here with the NBC News interview. That's what happened. So the question is, who do you think Trump ought to pick as his VP? 844-747-8868. We're going to go to your phone calls. We'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills. I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Right to those great phone calls here, 844-747-8868. Let's start the day in Charlotte, North Carolina. Cynthia joins us. Hi, Cynthia. Who do you think ought to be Trump's VP?
Well, this might be a long shot, but how about Robert Kennedy? Kind of a long shot. He's not Republican, but anyway.
Why would Robert Kennedy make a good VP for Trump?
Well, because my husband said so. He knows all this.
Really?
No, because, well, he's got some things right, and he would bridge the gap between both Republicans, Democrats, and it would be something totally out of the ordinary, shake it up a little bit, because I think he went through the list of the possible other candidates, and it's not looking so good. So unless there's somebody else out there that we don't know about yet, anyway, be a little something a little crazy. The other thing my concern is that you said the Democrats were kind of in a little bit of trouble, but we're thinking that they're going to wait till the last minute and pull Michelle Obama out of the hat.
Well,
it's like the last minute, you know, like so. Anyway,
I will say this. I do believe that Michelle Obama will end up in the race. I do believe that. I'm not sure that RFK is going to be the guy for Republicans, though, because he is not a Republican. He doesn't share most of the Republican value system. He is not pro-life. As far as, you know, the Second Amendment, he says, I do not believe that there is, within that Second Amendment, that there's anything we can meaningfully do to reduce the trade and ownership of guns. So I'm not sure that he's pro-Second Amendment. I'm not sure he's anti, but, I mean, given the preference, I would rather have somebody who is a rock-solid pro-Second Amendment person.
For sure. That's why, yeah, definitely. We want some, but where are they? Where are the people that are willing to stand up and say, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to waver on it? Where are they?
Yeah,
like,
we need
those people.
It's
so
a great question.
Where
but,
are they?
It's a great question. And, you know, Cynthia, the bench is there. My question is who's going to be that person? But going back to RFK, it's the abortion and gun control. He says, I'm not going to take people's guns away. I believe in gun control myself. Well, what does that mean? That makes no sense to me.
Well, maybe he could clarify that and be more on our side than his. He could get a little more clear. He has spoken out about the whole COVID and vaccines, and he's pretty outspoken about that. So maybe if he could take that outspokenness and put it in the right direction, maybe there's a chance. But we're hoping that there's somebody out there.
Let's see.
Willing to stand up and stand for something, right?
All right.
For it and not waver. Thank you for taking
Cynthia,
my call.
Cynthia, great.
I really appreciate your show.
Well, thank you. Great call. And give us a holler back. I like the way you think. I'm sure your husband has great thoughts, too, but I like the way you think. So, Cynthia, God bless you. Let's go to Nevada. Baxter hanging out with us on the Nevada Talk Network today. Hi, Baxter. Who do you like for VP?
I like Senator Kennedy out of Louisiana.
Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. Okay, why do you like John Kennedy?
He's just a lovable guy. He's not politically correct. He says what's on his mind, and when he's on TV, I turn it up. I want to hear what he got to say.
Well, Trump, by the way, did endorse John Kennedy in the last election cycle. And Kennedy has been a pretty rock solid, you know, supporter of the president. He did vote back in, he voted to acquit the former president on the impeachment vote. So anyway, we'll write down Senator Kennedy, a lot of Kennedys on either side of the political aisle there. Baxter, appreciate that call. Let's go to Angie in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Angie. Who do you like for VP?
Well, the older lady was talking about Robert Kennedy and going outside the box. And a lot of Georgians have taken a poll. And this is going to sound like we're all insane, but we would like to see Ted Nugent run as Vice President of the United States of America.
The Nuge?
Yep.
Really? Who did this poll? Angie, was this done down at the Cracker Barrel in Gainesville? Is that where this happened?
No. Actually, it was done at the Smokehouse Barbecue.
Of course it was. Of course it was. I knew something was up here.
Well, if you look at Nugent, he is an avid supporter of Trump, and he has donated so much to Trump, and he's very pro-life, he's very Second Amendment, and he believes everything Trump believes.
Well, and Michigan is a swing state, which is where he's from, so you've got that going for you.
Yep. So we were all brainstorming, and we've been watching Ted Nugent lately on his little podcast thing, and he's talking about how bad the Democrats are and how they're criminals and Trump shouldn't be going through this. And Ted Nugent is actually going to try to donate to help Trump with everything he needs.
Well, there you go. Angie, we've got you down. Ted Nugent, the Nuge, who is, by the way, 74 years old. I didn't realize he was that old. So.
Yes, sir.
All right. Angie, appreciate that. Let's go to North Carolina. Angela, listening to us on WSJS, our great affiliate there in Winston-Salem. Hi, Angela. Who do you like?
Hi. Todd. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad
I'm
to do it.
I'm married to Bill in High Point, who brags about barbecue. My recommendation is Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, wow. That's a blast from the past.
Exactly.
All right. Well, everybody seems to like Condoleezza.
Yes.
So, this is an interesting choice. She did a good job for Bush back in the day. She's from the South, and she certainly got the experience.
Absolutely.
All right. That's interesting. So, Condoleezza Rice. Angela, you guys are coming up with some really out-of-the-box ideas today on the show. Oh, did we lose Angela? Okay, we lost Angela. I like this idea. So we've got RFK, and we've got Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. I kind of like him in the Senate, though. He's rather entertaining there. Condoleezza Rice is another one, and Ted Nugent, the Nuge. Let's go to Louise in Georgia. All right, Louise, what say you?
Well, I'll tell you who I think, but then would you let me rant for just a few minutes?
We don't have a long time to rant, so let's get to it. Let's get to it.
All right, I think it picked Tim Scott, but anyhow.
Okay.
What I want to rant about is, and I love that thought of the dude that said Kennedy, what's his name? I love that guy. He's so funny. I think he'd be great, funny as a VP too, but anyhow. I don't know how much power that our Supreme Court has, but I wish somebody could explain to me why that they haven't jumped in or somebody jumped in and removed Biden and Kamala and all those idiots up there. It's for nothing else but human trafficking, which is exactly what the border is. And I think there's 40-something thousand children that can't even be accounted for. Well, somebody needs to go see the Sound of Freedom and then figure out where most of them went. But I just don't understand why something can't be done, why he can't be removed from office. And yes, the 2020 election was rigged. And I don't understand why we as a people are not standing up and shouting it from the rooftop.
Well, Louise, we're going to leave it there because we're running late for a break. I want to try to answer your question, though, and it's a fair question you raise. There are ways to remove the president. It can either be done through the cabinet or it can be done through the U.S. Senate and through the House by way of impeachment. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the quickest and more effective way would be for the cabinet to get together. But they're going to keep Biden. It doesn't matter if they have to just juice him up every single day, because they're terrified of letting Kamala anywhere near the Oval Office. And that's why. Look, I'll have some more thoughts on this coming up after the break. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us. Hour two of the big show underway. By the way, in just a little while, we're going to be talking to some folks in Alabama about that crazy fight that's made national headlines over in Montgomery. So Allison Sinclair, one of the co-hosts of Alabama Unfiltered Radio, it's a great program, she'll be with us. But I want to go back to the phones. A lot of you folks wanting to weigh in on VP picks for Donald Trump. I don't believe it's going to be Ron DeSantis. The campaign is in great disarray. DeSantis has really not distinguished himself out on the campaign trail. And honestly, I don't know how he can just turn this around and all of a sudden become, you know, the number one Trump supporter in America. So let's go to the phones here. Christopher in Gainesville, Georgia, has a VP suggestion. Christopher, what's your idea?
Well, sir, I called last week and I said, you know, I'm thinking about, my favorite would be Sarah Palin. But the lady that you spoke with earlier, just a few minutes ago, Condoleezza Rice, absolutely.
Well, she would be good. I know there are a lot of conservatives who are uneasy about Condoleezza. Maybe she's more of a Bush Republican. But look, I think she'd do a great job, and she's got an incredible resume. And I think that she has distinguished herself. But, man, does the left hate Condoleezza Rice. They cannot stand her.
Good.
Which is all the more reason, Christopher. So let me get this straight. So you're changing your vote. You're saying Sarah Palin, no. Condoleezza Rice, yes.
No, I'm not changing my vote. I didn't think about Condoleezza Rice. I was all about Sarah Palin, if she'd be willing to do it. But then when the lady, I think she was from Gainesville as well, brought up.
All right. Well, we've got you. Christopher, we've got you down, and we appreciate you calling in. And there you go. All right. Sarah Palin, Condoleezza Rice. Another big story we've been following. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. And we're honored to have with us Congressman Mark Alford from Missouri. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, thank you so much. We're traveling the district in this August in-district work month, working for the people of the 4th Congressional District of the great state of Missouri.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Congressman, a lot happening out there. One of the things just right out of the gate, I heard Kevin McCarthy yesterday speaking on all the attacks on President Trump. A lot of people are now demanding that impeachment proceedings begin. Is Congress, is the House doing anything in response to these attacks on President Trump?
Well, look, Todd, I know the American people are growing impatient. I think we're all frustrated with how the process plays out. But we, the Republican conference, the Republican majority in the House of Representatives are going to do this the right way. Kevin McCarthy has said from the beginning, something just doesn't smell right. Something is wrong. I believe that the President of the United States is compromised with the deals that his son illicitly put together, channeling what, $17 million into the family from various accounts and 20 LLCs. That has not gotten the attention it deserves, I think, in the legacy media. I think they are covering for the Biden family, the Biden crime family. Instead, they'd rather cover the Trump's legal problems. And I want to make one thing very clear, Todd. This is not about January 6th. It never was. It never will be. This is about November 5th of 2024. 450 some odd days now to the presidential election. The left, the media, the progressive woke broke arm of our government is scared to death that Trump is going to be reelected president and he's going to get in there and start cleaning house the way he should have during his first term.
No, I agree with you, and I think that's the issue. And if nothing else, the trial in D.C. could very well help us be able to litigate the 2020 election and figure out what the heck happened. I mean, if, in fact, this thing does go to trial. So the Democrats may be getting to understand, uh-oh, and maybe they're going to try to backtrack. But at the end of the day, we do need to understand what happened back in 2020.
Well, we do. We all know that four states went around the Constitution of the United States and their own state's constitution to circumvent the election laws to let the state executive branch determine what was going to happen with their election laws. And that should never happen again. It's up to the state legislators. And I am sad that our Supreme Court did not agree with that and Chief Justice John Roberts deciding that vote. But look, we've got to get it right this next time. We've got to make sure that we have election integrity, that we can have confidence. America has lost confidence in the election system. They've lost confidence in the justice system. They've lost confidence, if they ever had it, in the media. And we've got to restore confidence in the goodness of America, that we're going to get things right, that the truth is going to be told, and people are going to be able to make intelligent decisions based on facts rather than hysteria that the left wants to throw out.
All right, Congressman Mark Alford on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, we are still getting a lot of information from Devin Archer's testimony. You say it is deeply revealing, and I mean, my understanding is this is about to get a whole lot worse, but you're telling us that there were dinners or phone conversations between Joe and Hunter and the business associates, what, over 20 times?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think Devin Archer somewhat couched during his testimony. I think when you start looking at the written testimony, which we're starting to dig in now, I think it's going to become apparent if you've given an honest look that, look, Hunter Biden was trading off of his name. The only thing he had is someone who got kicked out of the Navy because of drug problems, his sexual addiction, his drug addiction. His just basically screwed up life. How do you earn $87,000 a month from Burisma and get that type of dough without having a dad in power and throwing his name around? And so when you bring potential business partners to the table and you're trying to get on their boards or get their business or get money from them, the easiest thing to do is call up dad, who has a seemingly good, fairly good reputation among some in Washington, at least in name, at least he's the vice president of the United States. And if you can get him on the phone call and be chummy with those who are potential business partners, it's going to go a long way into getting you those deals. And that's exactly what happened with Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family. This money was channeled in. It went through these LLCs. It got dispersed among family members. And now I believe this is a national security issue. I believe that when it comes down to it, the president of the United States is compromised. And that's why we need an impeachment inquiry when we return to Washington.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree, and I really do hope that Speaker McCarthy just takes this till the end. We've got to hold people accountable. We just absolutely do. Congressman, one final issue, and I know you've been bulldogging this one. There are some disturbing reports about China and Russia sending naval warships near Alaska. Do we have any intel on why those ships were sent there, and what has been our response?
I have not been privy to any classified information other than what I've read in open source so far. I hope to get some classified briefings when I return to Washington. I have requested those as members of the House Armed Services Committee. But let me tell you what, China is not messing around, and they're cozying up to Russia the way they are is a potential serious existential threat to the survivability of the United States of America. The China malware that they have implanted in our military systems, hidden in the U.S. military defense system, is a ticking time bomb. China could potentially cut off power to our water, our communications on our military bases, and the CCP is the greatest threat that we have seen to the United States in more than 30 years. This type of provocation cannot stand. We need a Winston Churchill now. We don't need someone who's going to in there and going to be weak-kneed, send emissaries over, John Kerry over to grovel at the feet and talk about climate change. We need real change. We need a change in our position and our posture with communist China. And if Trump were still in office, I guarantee you none of this would be happening. This nonsense that we're seeing with America being stepped all over because President Biden has made us look like a weakling, and bullies pick on weaklings. We need someone back in the White House who means business.
Well said. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. I always appreciate your great insight and enjoy your time back home in the district.
God bless you, Todd. You're a great American. I appreciate your listeners, and thank you very much.
All right. There you go, Congressman Mark Alford, everybody. And let's hope that his fellow Republicans are just as passionate about punishing Joe Biden and holding these people accountable. We've just got to do it. We absolutely do. All right, got to take a quick break here. We will head back to the phones, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's head over to the phones here. Sam in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, wants to weigh in on something Congressman Alford just said. Hi, Sam. What's going on?
Hey, well, enjoy your show, Todd. When I'm on the road, I'm listening to it. But it bothered me a moment ago. You're on the phone with a congressman, a Republican, and I'm definitely Republican. However, you asked, maybe I missed something, but you asked, McCarthy and representatives, are they going to do something? And what are they going to do to stop this shove against President Trump and do something about what the Bidens have done? He told us, again, maybe I missed something, but all I heard was him telling us everything that we already know, how wrong it is for what they're doing to Trump, how wrong it is for what the Bidens have done, and nothing. He did not say, here's what we're going to do to stop this.
Well,
my opinion is that something has to be done.
Sam, I just don't think anything's going to be done. And I keep asking these guys, look, Congressman Alford is he's a rank and file member. So he does not have he has some power, but he doesn't have the power of, the Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy, I simply do not believe, wants to impeach Joe Biden. I don't think he's got the courage to do it. And then you have people like, for example, Congresswoman Nancy Mace out of South Carolina, who says that, well, if the Republicans impeach Biden, we're going to lose in 2024. Well, there's a pretty darn good chance they could lose in 2024 if they don't impeach the guy.
I agree.
But it's, all Alford could do and the others can do are introduce the articles of impeachment. Do they have the evidence, yes or no? That's all I want to know, Sam. And if they don't have the evidence, why are we wasting our time with all of these hearings?
True.
But, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, you did not mishear what the congressman had to say. And it is a little frustrating. Sam, appreciate you listening to us, and thank you for supporting WDUN. Let's go to Cindy in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there. Hi, Cindy.
Good afternoon, Todd. Great show. I definitely would like to see Tim Scott run as vice president. I've heard people say on the different talk shows that I listen to that he said he went to a vice presidency, But I've also heard that Trump has not had anything bad to say about Tim Scott. They seem to have a good relationship. And I think Tim Scott, if it came down to saving our country and being a vice president, I think he'd do it. I think he would change and realize, because he has come from humble beginnings. He's had to struggle, and he didn't give up. And that's what we need. We need people like that and that are honest. And I don't believe, and some women won't like this and some people won't, but that's their choice. I don't believe president, vice president should be a woman's job. I don't think that's any place for them. And as far as
Well, why not? I'm curious, Cindy, why would that not be a job for a woman?
I just don't believe that's any place for a woman. I just don't. I think you need a man, because a man's going to be able to stand up to these other countries. And this is a whole different ball game with what we're dealing with today. And the other piece with Ron DeSantis, he's got young kids. His wife did conquer cancer, but as we know, cancer's deceiveth, and it can come back. I think he should stick to being a governor in Florida. He's doing a good job at that. And taking care of his family. And, you know, when you've gone through cancer, you don't need that stress. That's a stressful life, and having to move the kids to Washington and all that, I just don't buy into that. And I don't like some of his remarks that he's been making. And we don't need that. We don't. And I'm all for Trump. You know, he runs for president. I don't care whether he's in or out of jail. I will still vote for him as long as he's running, because we know what he can do. And people got, I have a question to ask. This may not be right, but I don't quite understand. This Mrs. Biden, did she give birth to those kids? Oh, those
no.
Kids that he already had.
No. These were the kids that he already had.
Amen. That's what I thought. And they got to stop calling her the mother. She's a stepmother. And that's what throws me off. She'll say, oh, and the mother. No, she's a stepmother. I'm not saying that some stepparents aren't the greatest. But in these circumstances, what she's doing with her husband makes me sick.
All right, Cindy. So you're saying it's now Mrs. Dr. First Lady Step Biden. That's
yep.
All right. I got
stepmother.
It. Stepmother. Stepmother, you know, Biden. All right.
Yeah.
We will add that to the list. Cindy, we got to run. It is good hearing from you. And thank you for that. This is interesting. Cindy says that a woman really should not be running for president or vice president. I'm curious, ladies, what say you? 844-747-8868. All right, let's go to Bob in North Georgia. Hi, Bob. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. You staying busy?
And more or less. We got about a minute here, Bob, so we better get to it.
Well, I think Michelle Obama would be a perfect vice president for Trump.
Wait, what?
Michelle Obama.
Bob, you hitting the moonshine a little early there in North Georgia? What's
her color of her skin would be a perfect contrast to Trump's orange jumpsuit.
All right, you know Michelle Obama is a Democrat. I are you trying to make a joke here, Bob? I'm not following you.
No, I just said her color of her skin would be a perfect contrast to his orange jumpsuit.
Okay. All right, Bob. Appreciate the call there. Yeah, I'm not quite sure I got that. Interesting. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, it's only Tuesday, folks. It is only Tuesday. Can we save that kind of stuff for later in the week? Can we do that? All right, folks, hang tight. We're going to go down to Montgomery, Alabama. We got to talk about this insane story out of Montgomery. We're going to be getting to your calls as well, so don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. President Trump is fighting back, and he wants you to get a copy of the brand new best-selling book by our good buddy David Horowitz. President Trump says America is facing a final battle in the coming election. That's 2024. And David's book is a terrific expose on how the far left plans to end democracy in America. President Trump says, got to get a copy of this book and read it. Mike Huckabee says, every Christian in America needs to prepare by getting David's book, The Final Battle. And by the way, our friends at Newsmax are going to give you a free copy. All you have to do is go to the website, finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com. Save $30 and get The Final Battle today. Speaking of battles, sweet mercy. There was a big one in Montgomery, Alabama. It looked like a WWE, I don't know, Riverside match. I've never seen anything quite like it. There was a big brawl, and it's making national headlines, and people are trying to make heads or tails of what happened. And I'm excited to welcome to the program, making her debut appearance, she is the co-host of Alabama Unfiltered Radio, also the founder of Local Alabama, which is a great organization. We're going to tell you about that in just a moment, Allison Sinclair. Allison, hope you're doing well today.
Thank you so much for having me on, genuinely. And as I was listening to that live read, that's all I could think is, like, I wonder if Trump's battle is going to look like the riverboat Rambler brawl that broke out on the Riverwalk in Montgomery. It is one of my favorite stories that has come out of 1819 News and out of Montgomery in a while, but I think I've always loved a good fight. And man, that one was entertaining for sure.
So maybe you can tell us what happened, just to explain the basics, and then I have a lot of questions for you.
Okay, so the Harriet 2 is the riverboat where people can just jump on, take a nice stroll down the river, enjoy time with friends and family. It has had its share of problems. Not too long ago, it got stuck on a sandbar. People had to go in, pull it out. The Harriet, too, is kind of a staple of Montgomery. And this riverboat was coming back to dock at the Riverwalk, which is down in Montgomery. It's a beautiful spot. President Trump had his dinner with the Republican Party just the night before, right beside it. And so the huge riverboat's coming down, and they can't park because there's a pontoon boat in the way. And this pontoon boat was covered. So it's like, where are its people? So the captain starts saying, if you are the owner of this pontoon boat, please come move your boat because we've got this giant riverboat that's trying to dock. Well, nobody comes. So the captain sends his deckhand in a little pedal boat. I guess I'm thinking it's one of those that you get in and you like pedal your little feet to get across.
Oh my gosh.
And well, see, and that makes me laugh too. But the deckhand gets in the pedal boat, goes ashore, and is going to move. I don't know how you move. Apparently, you have to move boats at docks a lot. Well, as the deckhand gets off the pedal boat to go move the pontoon boat, that's when the owners of the pontoon boat come running down to the riverside. Which is funny because how did they know? I mean, were they watching this whole thing go down? I don't know what that was. But then the owner of the pontoon boat starts to confront the deckhand, who's really just doing his job. And the riverboat was full. I mean, filled to the brim of people waiting to get off. They're just sitting out in the river trying to get in because their tour is over. Well, that's when you see the deckhand. I don't know if you've seen the videos. They are awesome. But the deckhand,
I've watched them all. It's fascinating.
I loved it. It was so dramatic. It was awesome. But so the deckhand, he's about to put his hat backwards and he's like, forget it. Do you remember this part? And he tosses his hat up in the air.
He threw the hat up in the air.
And he's like, it's on. So the pontoon boat owner and the deckhand start fighting. Well, about that time, somebody runs in, the pontoon boat friends start jumping in. Somebody jumps off the riverboat. I really thought they were going to drown. Did you see that video where the guy's trying to get to shore?
So it was a 16-year-old, is my understanding. And so he was going to help. They call him the young buck. And so I guess he was swimming to help and come to the rescue of the deckhand.
And well, he makes it there. Well, then what you kind of have to put all the videos together, because what's happening further down the Riverwalk is another fight's breaking out of people that aren't even on the riverboat, weren't even involved. And that's when all the women started getting hit with chairs.
So I saw that. So somebody just out of the blue, and this is what struck me as odd, Allison. I mean, are people in Montgomery, when they're going down to the Riverwalk, are they bringing those folding chairs that you would normally see at like a wrestling match? Because that's what somebody had. And you're right. They were clocking people upside the head.
I'm guessing he saw it on the way down and he was like, oh, I'm taking that. And you know, why you go after the women? I don't know. I don't know how they got involved. But yes, apparently this mom and daughter started getting beat over the head with this chair. At some point, you hear the riverboat captain going, there's two people in the water. There's two people in the water. Check on the people. Somebody got hit and thrown in the water. And then security comes and all this breaks out. And then the police, it took the police 15 minutes to get there. So by that time, it's like the whole city of Montgomery is involved. And now, you know, there's all these parodies out about it. It's actually really, really funny. But what's not funny is, I think, the aftermath of what's happening. In an 1819 news story that came out, they interviewed the captain of the boat. And he was saying, this is not a race issue. This is just people being stupid. And, you know, we just needed to get our boat in.
And let's
they
stop there
move
for
the boat.
Allison, let's stop there for a moment, because the people involved, the fighting, the deckhand, a black guy, the people who owned the pontoon boat or were connected to the pontoon boat, all white. And that's why this is making national news, because the insinuation is that this is a race issue.
I think it's just people being stupid and probably drinking too much. Now, I have learned that the pontoon boat owners, that group of people, in the past stole. This is such an Alabama story. I'll just go ahead and say it for you. Although I grew up in East Tennessee, I feel like it could have happened there too. But so the pontoon people have stolen the securities people's golf carts before to transport their boat riders to the bar and back before. And so apparently the police were called in the past about this group, and the police were like, just let it go. We'll get the golf cart back. Let's don't press charges. So there's a history there maybe. And the really unfortunate part, and this is where, like, I think we're back in the 1980s where you fight it out and then you move on. Apparently people followed the pontoon boat people that were injured to the hospital. They can't even go home now because they've been doxxed and their address is out on social media, and people have been threatening and harassing them since the event. And that's just, I mean, I think this is just a case of people being stupid, and, you know, you can't just fight it out anymore and be done. It's with social media, it's just taken on this life. And of course it does fit the narrative, the national narrative of that black people and white people hate each other, especially in Alabama. And that's just not the case.
As a matter of fact, when you go back and watch, when you watch all of the video, Allison, you actually see white people coming to the aid of the deckhand. And there are a couple of videos where, you know, even the whites were coming under attack because, of whatever was going on down there. But you're right. Not only that, Allison, you may not be aware of this, but the NPR folks have gotten involved. And now they're reminding everyone, they're trying to bring President Trump into this by pointing out that the president was in town just days before, as if this somehow sparked the chaos that happened with the riverboat.
Well, Todd, I mean, I can't believe you're surprised, because everything is President Trump's fault. Don't you know that? That is like everything. If I have a bad hair day, it's President Trump's fault. It's ridiculous what they will take and spend to work their narrative. And this is just a case of probably drinking too much and being stupid. And it got out of hand. And so here we are now. Alabama's been making the national news for some good reasons, but mainly kind of stupid reasons lately.
So
and this
Allison,
is just another
headline. Has anybody been actually arrested for and charged in connection with whatever happened?
Yes. I think there have been four arrests. Now, the details, I do not know. I need to follow up on that. But I think at this point, there have been four arrests made. I mean, whoever the idiot was, the pontoon boat owner that threw the first punch, isn't that what it is? If you throw the first punch, you should go down. Usually it's the guy that throws the second punch. But I'm not sure how all these will be handed out, but four people have been arrested.
Well, this is fascinating. And again, it seems to me that the black dude with the chair who was going around smacking women upside the head, that guy probably needs to go to jail too. And we're gonna follow this. I think there's a big press conference coming up today, and hopefully get some more details. But again, I think the issue here is, and that's why I wanted to have you on the program, is that ultimately, I don't think this is about race. I'm with you. I think this is people acting stupidly, and people, you know, again, booze and pontoon boats, not a good combo platter.
You got some Alabama rednecks, some good old boys, like, I mean, and you just, things go wrong, and it's just life in this fallen world. Sometimes there are fights.
All right.
But
Allison, real quick, before we have to let you go, yes. There's another big story here, and we talked about it on the program, the library in Huntsville, where they were trying to cancel Kirk Cameron. I know you have connections with those folks. The good news is it looks like the library reconsidered.
They did, and that was a tough story because we've been fighting here in Alabama. They've had drag queen story hour and everything that they have in our children's sections of the library, very much LGBTQ friendly. And so when Brave Books wanted to come in and host this event across Alabama on August 5th, we thought, well, okay, we'll be able to display the opposite side. You know, you want to reach out to all patrons. And Huntsville, Madison County quickly found out that that is not the case. They had their capacity sign up for years, and suddenly 2 days before the event, the capacity signs were switched out and lowered, and they canceled the event because they couldn't just let all those Christians in. And that's when First Liberty got involved and sent a letter. And once they were threatened with a free speech kind of prospect of a lawsuit, they backed down, and the event went off without a hitch. And Kirk Cameron and Riley Gaines were there, and it was a great day. They had over 500 people.
Wow.
So
that's great.
The point is, don't back down.
Just do not
back down to the haters, to the left. Stand your ground and know your constitutional rights.
All right. Well, Allison, we're going to leave it there. I will say this. You know, I know that the folks at City Hall probably think what happened in Montgomery is horrible, but I suspect you guys are going to have an uptick in tourism. I'm just saying.
I was just sad I missed it. Like, I was there for the Trump event and had to leave, and I missed the whole thing. So, God, it was awful.
My engineer said, Todd, was there a Waffle House nearby? No, that's rude. That's inappropriate, Dylan.
No, I'm sure everybody went there after. It's such an Alabama thing to do. But feel free to reach back up. We'll be happy to update you from the front line.
All right. Allison Sinclair, co-host of Alabama Unfiltered Radio. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Well, I just have to say, it makes, you know what? The folks in Mississippi are like, hey, it wasn't us. It is what it is. Folks, the reason I wanted to have Allison on is because the national media is going to make this an issue. Do not be surprised if Al Sharpton and all of his cronies are making their way down to Montgomery. You know, they want to make this about race. I don't think it is. All right, got to take a break here, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to the phones on the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones. Youngstown, Ohio, Pastor Hal is on the line. Hello, Pastor. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. You know, they were talking about those two U.S. sailors that they're going to indict for treason for trying to sell the Red Chinese secrets. But I have heard even from other talk show hosts, conservative talk show hosts, who have personally heard the Red Chinese bragging that for years they've had Biden in their pocket, giving him payoffs and everything. And he's probably made millions or billions of dollars in bribes from the Red Chinese for working against America's interests. And put money in his pocket and all his family's pocket. And they're not. And to give him an impeachment thing is like a little slap on the wrist. You know, I'm talking, we ought to give the guy like a treason hearing, because what he's been doing to this country and a lot of the Democrats with him, it's more like treason than something that just deserves a slap in the wrist like impeachment.
Yeah, you know, Pastor Hal, for me, one of the more disturbing moments of the Biden administration was when the Chinese spy balloon was allowed to traverse the continental United States and take photographs over sensitive military installations. And Joe Biden was derelict in his duties and violated his oath of office. I mean, this was a de facto invasion. And the fact that Biden allowed that spy balloon to take photographs and send that material back to China, that is unforgivable. And in my estimation, that is a crime. And look, I'm with you on this. But the question is, will the Republicans, should they regain control of the Senate in the next election cycle, will they have the courage to punish Joe Biden? I don't think they will. I really don't.
Depends on how many rhinos they got in there.
Well, true.
A rhino is no more than a Democrat in disguise, where the Democrats have infiltrated the Republican Party with their own people, you know, just
good point.
Know what's going on and stuff like that.
All right. Well, Pastor, I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening to us. We love all of our great listeners in Youngstown. Let's go to Chris in Asheville, North Carolina, listening to us on WHKP. Hi, Chris.
Well, hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to do it, Chris.
First, I'll make a little comment about the spy balloon. This idea was presented to me. It wasn't my idea, but somebody presented the idea that maybe it was a good idea we did not shoot the spy balloon down. What if it was full of shrapnel or whatever that could come down and hurt people? Or what if it was full of fentanyl? That would kill a bunch of people. So that's just a thought. So I don't know if anybody else has even thought about something like that.
Well, Chris, I mean, yeah, I mean, I understand your concerns there. And maybe those are, maybe there could have been something in that balloon. But there are plenty of places to bring it down where it would not have impacted, you know, the population. So
right.
Real quick, I want to make sure you get your thought in here, though, and we're running tight on time.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll hurry. But I did have a comment about Joe and Jill Biden. They did have a child together. Her name is Ashley. She is now 42 years old. She was born in 1981.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Uh-huh. You're right.
Uh-huh. I had read that before, so I wanted to bring that up real quick. And they got married in 1977. 4 years later is when Ashley was born. But anyway, and that was only 5 years after his wife and the one-year-old daughter was killed.
Is that the one who was doing the showers, you know, that Joe would have the showers with? I think that is that one. Oh, that's terrible. All right, Chris, thank you for the call, and thanks for the correcting the record here. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour three of The Big Show coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. And we've got a lot going on this hour. Coming up in just a little while, a big election in the state of Mississippi. And one of the largest and one of the fastest growing cities in all of America is in a town called South Haven, DeSoto County, right across the state line from Memphis. And a gentleman by the name of Thomas Tuggle, a great, great African-American leader running for sheriff. And this guy is going places quickly. He is a lieutenant colonel in the state police there in Mississippi, and is poised to become the next sheriff in DeSoto County. We're going to be talking to Thomas Tuggle in just a little while as more minorities here in very dark blue West Tennessee are now becoming Republican. And it's an exciting story, and I can't wait to hear him tell us his story. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us, from the beautiful state of Montana, Congressman Matt Rosendale. Congressman, hope you're doing good. Are you back in the district?
I am back in the district. I spent last week traveling around a bit. This week I am at my ranch on the eastern side of the state, and the end of the week I will begin travels around the state again. The end of the month, I'm excited. We're having an energy tour. I've got four members of Congress joining me. We will look at a crude oil refinery in Billings, a hydroelectric facility, Yellowtail Dam, a coal strip, Montana, a solar farm. We're going to look at all kinds of energy, Todd.
Congressman, I'm curious, though, about your – I didn't realize you were a rancher. What do you grow on the ranch?
Well, unfortunately, I don't spend enough time here any longer to really be responsible for the day-to-day operations because of spending so much time on the road. When I was here at the beginning of the at the turn of the century, in the early 2000s, I basically spent 4 or 5 days a week on a horse chasing cows around the ranch here.
Wow.
It's a beautiful place in eastern Montana located on the Yellowstone River. So I'm very blessed. I've got irrigated ground along the river with great hunting opportunities. And then there's a little two-lane highway that splits the ranch, and on the western side is where the cattle graze. It's truly the place of where the deer and the antelope play.
Wow. I love it. It's beautiful country up there. And, Congressman, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. I do want to bring to everyone's attention this crazy story about the Department of Education defunding hunting safety and archery at Montana schools. So first of all, give us some background. What were they teaching the kids at Montana schools up until recently?
It's safety. It's hunter safety. It's how to handle a firearm safely. It's how to be able to take a bow and arrow and utilize it to hit a target. It's getting kids away from televisions and from video games and into the great outdoors. And our superintendent of schools was able to award 25 different school districts $4.8 million, which is nominal by today's standards, to make sure that these kids were getting exposed to this. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter whether you have a firearm in your home or not. If you can have youths exposed to hunter safety, to firearm safety programs, then they are better for it. And then if they so decide and they would like to pursue hunting activities or just shooting sports activities, great, all the more wonderful. But certainly in the great state of Montana, we have a large segment of our population that utilizes these sports and enjoys these sports. And for the federal government to come in under the guise of through the Department of Education, under the guise of the Safer Communities Act, to remove the ability for our schools to use that funding, it's wrong. The superintendent of schools has already awarded the funds, and they are supposed to be directed at safe and healthy students. Well, by golly, learning to shoot a bow and arrow and learning how to handle a firearm safely certainly falls under the heading of safe and healthy students.
And again, I didn't want to jump the gun just a bit, but the reason you're here is because the Department of Education has now defunded those programs. Did they give you a reason why? Are you getting any word on why that happened?
I just sent the letter off with my colleagues, Lauren Boebert from Colorado and Mary Miller from Illinois, to ask them and to get this turned around and let them know that it's an intentional misinterpretation of the legislation, and it's nothing more than the Biden administration's attempt to curb our Second Amendment rights, and we're trying to find out if we can't get this turned around.
Yeah, this is it's just ridiculous. And I remember growing up, I grew up in the South, and, of course, deer hunting is a big deal here. And it was actually a school holiday, you know, the start of deer season. You were not in class. You were out. You were out in the fields.
This is what happens when the federal government starts making decisions about how states should be functioning. It's a big problem. As I often say, Dwight Eisenhower, and I paraphrase, used to say that farming looks awful easy when you live 1,000 miles away from a cornfield and use a pencil for a plow. And And we've got too many people that use pencils for plows, okay, that are making decisions about how everybody should operate. But I will also tell you that it should be a warning flag to everyone. When you start accepting funds from the federal government, there are always strings attached. And no different than when Michelle Obama started trying to tell everybody what they needed to have on their menu for lunch. This is the kind of repercussions that you have to be ready to endure when you accept those federal dollars.
All right, Congressman Matt Rosendale on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Now, Congressman, I'm also intrigued. You have co-sponsored a bill with Congressman Matt Gaetz to defund Jack Smith's investigation against Trump. What are you hearing, and what are the chances of that actually happening? I think this is a brilliant idea. Like Congressman Chip Roy said, go after the purse strings.
Let's go after the purse strings. That is what Congress can do. Look, we have seen that we have the ability to shed light on a lot of these injustices. We've been able to expose the fraudulent documents, the false statement. The Department of Justice is the body that charges and prosecutes. And if we cannot get them to carry out their functions properly and legitimately, as I always say, equal justice under the law can't just be a slogan. It has to be reality. And if they are not going to carry out justice blindly, then it's up to us as Congress to go in and start getting rid of the bad apples. And this is the fastest, most effective way for us to do it. I think that we have a very good opportunity to get this piece of legislation brought forward, possibly even insert it into one of the appropriation bills, okay, and do something about this. We cannot allow this Department of Justice, this rogue Department of Justice, to falsify documents, to have high-ranking members of the FBI to continue to obstruct. They're the ones who are obstructing justice to carry out indictment after indictment of President Trump at very, I might add, timely times when we start seeing additional information being brought forward about President Biden or about his son Hunter and about their crime family and all of the revenue that they have derived from foreign powers and nations. And then all of a sudden we see another indictment brought forth on President Trump. If the Department of Justice isn't going to act equally and blindly, then it's going to be up to Congress to do what we can, which is to defund the sections that aren't acting properly.
And that is something that the House actually can do. The Republicans can do. You guys can defund, and it will be defunded.
Well, we still have to get the Senate to go along with it. But I'm here to tell you, Todd, if the House of Representatives passes legislation that calls for the defunding of a branch of government because they have demonstrated such abuse against the American people, and the United States Senate does not also pass that legislation, all it does is show very clearly the changes that we need to make in the United States Senate, which is a whole other conversation.
Because I can tell you, Congressman, people are getting frustrated, and they're wanting to see something happen. And I know that the speaker's not too keen on impeachment, but people are getting a little bit anxious out there in the Republican world.
Sure they are. They're looking for action, and they're tired of timidity and half measures, Todd. And I continue to tell folks that. We are not going to see changes take place if we continue to just do, again, timidity and half measures to try and resolve these issues. I was sent up here to Congress to make changes, and I've been trying to do so since the day I entered. And sometimes you have to ruffle some feathers and piss some people off in order to accomplish that. But, you know, at some point, when are you going to say the emperor's not wearing any clothes?
Well, there you go. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Enjoy your time back in the district.
God bless you. Thanks for sharing the truth with your listeners, Todd.
All right. Congressman Matt Rosendale, everybody. And we appreciate him. And he knows that people are very, very, very uneasy right now and very concerned, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. All right, we got to run for a break here. 844-747-8868. Again, our number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Someone sent me some audio, and I think this is just terrific. You know, we talk a lot about the importance of men in American life, and there has been a radical war on men in this country for a number of years, and it's really had a considerable negative impact in this country, because America needs strong men who are manly men, who are godly men, men who are, what's the term? They use toxic masculinity, but there's nothing toxic about masculinity. We need men that are willing to step up and be fathers to their children. We are in desperate need of men who are willing to stand up and fight back against the bullies in this nation. So anyway, one of the reasons why you need a man in the household is that young boys need that role model. And there was a video that's gone viral on the social medias about it features a little boy who was basically disrespecting his mother. The mother, a single parent, and there was a gentleman who happened to be in the military who either lived nearby or was a good friend of the mom. And she invited him over to basically have a come to Jesus moment with this little boy. And I want to play this audio, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how all of this went down. I think the man did this young boy a great, great service. Let's take a listen to Cut 7.
Like she crazy, cursing at her, telling her what you won't do. You won't clean your room. You gonna do what you want to do? And you talk to your mother like that? Like you tough? Do you think you tough, little man? Okay. Talk to me like you talk to your mother. Talk to me. You think you tough, don't you? Boss up on me. Cuss me out. Tell me you ain't gonna do what I say do. I dare you. I dare you. You ain't gonna do it to me? Why you do it to her? Why you talk to her disrespectfully? Why?
Little boy, answer me.
Why do you talk to your mother disrespectfully?
I don't know why I do it.
You don't know why you do it. Today, I'm going to help you find out why. And today, uh-oh, it ends. Today, it ends. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You will not call your mother out of her name ever again.
Wow. Good for you, sir. I don't know who this man is, but he is doing this boy a great, great service right now. And, you know, the reality is you've got a lot of single moms out there in America. And why is that? Because somewhere along the line, a man chose not to be a man. He chose to be a coward. By the way, a man lives up to his obligations. He takes care of his family. That's what a man does. A man doesn't just pack up and leave when the going gets tough. And unfortunately, you've got a lot of moms out there whose husbands left them. And now they're raising these kids, and they're doing the best they can, but the mom has to go out and get a job, has to put food on the table, has to pay the bills, pay the rent. And a lot of times, they don't have that time to spend with their kids. So thank goodness for this guy coming along and helping this mom set this kid on the right path. And isn't that what it's really all about here? Raising up a child in the way they should go. And this little boy, hopefully, and it's not going to just be a one and done, and it certainly didn't sound like it was going to be a one and done with this man who clearly was on a mission to make sure this kid did not end up in some sort of a gang, end up out on the streets, end up in juvie, or even worse, end up in, you know, end up dead on the streets. Because that's where a lot of these kids end up. And you know what? It's all about the little things. Look, just like crime, You drive around and you see those nuisance crimes out there, the broken windows, the broken taillight, whatever. Those eventually lead to bigger problems. And that was the point of this guy getting in the face of this bratty kid. And I say good for you. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we're going to take your calls on that. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Thomas Tuggle, who is running for sheriff of DeSoto County, Mississippi, one of the fastest growing cities in all of America. Well, I've got to tell you about our good buddy, Mike Lindell. We are celebrating a big anniversary. That's right, the 20th anniversary of MyPillow. And Mike has some pretty amazing deals just for our listeners. And it's all part of the 20th anniversary celebration of MyPillow. MyPillow.com/darns is the website. Again, that's MyPillow.com/darns. And you're going to find discounts on all of Mike's products, including the beautiful queen size MyPillow. The queen size MyPillow, it's normally going to set you back, what, $50, $60? Not anymore. $19.98. That's all you're going to pay, $19.98 at MyPillow.com/darns. You're also going to get deep discounts on mattress toppers and my slippers, the Giza Dream bed sheets, you name it. MyPillow.com/darns. Be sure to use my promo code STARNS. MyPillow products make incredible gifts, but I got to tell you, I love my six MyPillow. I sleep with six pillows. I love pillows. What can I say? Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, folks, just a reminder, Friday, I'll be filling in primetime anchoring on Newsmax TV, heading up to New York City on Thursday after the show. And we'd love for you to join us and hang out with us on Newsmax TV on Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Filling in for Greg Kelly, by the way. And, of course, we have some pretty exciting news coming up about Newsmax. Not ready to make that big announcement just yet. But it's getting close, and we're very excited about our partnerships and friendships with those good people. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It is Election Day in a number of states around the country, including Mississippi, and there is a very important race for sheriff. And on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is the man who wants to be the next sheriff of DeSoto County, one of the largest counties in Mississippi, Thomas Tuggle. Thomas, good to have you back with us today.
Hey, sir. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk again.
And Thomas, give us an idea. I know voting started earlier this morning. How is turnout going so far?
So far, it's going very good. We've got an overcast, but that hasn't had an effect on anybody. We've got looked like it's very positive. I know between the 4 and 7 crowd, we're expecting massive crowds because we've seen lines early this morning around between 7 and 8:30, and now the lunchtime crowd, and we're still looking at a large number of registered voters that haven't shown up, but they've already called and said they are coming.
What's really fascinating about DeSoto County, South Haven, right across the state line from Memphis, I grew up there. And when I grew up in South Haven, it was a Big Star and a Rexall drugstore and not many people. That was it. But now, and we're talking, 40 years later, almost 200,000 people now live in DeSoto County.
Yes, sir, that is true. This county has grown tremendously over the past 20, 25 years, and people are moving here for several reasons. One of them is they want to feel safe, so they're very interested in the individual that will be responsible for keeping them safe. That's why this election has garnered so much attention. The other thing is a great school system. We have the best school system and the largest school system in the state, and my plan for keeping the school safe but also mentoring our kids has definitely had an effect on people, and people are very excited about us. So that is drawing people out to the polls.
And let's talk about that because crime is a big issue, not just here in our area, but really all across America. And a lot of it goes back to policies being implemented by far left district attorneys and the Democrats.
Yeah, so I agree with that. That's one of the things that I looked at, and this county has got some of the best law enforcement executives working together. We're all National Academy graduates, and I'm looking forward to working with them, because when we deal with the criminal element, we have an opportunity to send a united front. That means we're working together to combat violent crime, but not only just here in DeSoto County. I don't mind reaching across the state lines to our law enforcement partners there, because we have to work together. And if we send a message to criminal element that we're unified, it will make them very uncomfortable. And I've learned in my 30 years of law enforcement, when the criminal element is uncomfortable, they will go somewhere else. And we want them going somewhere else other than DeSoto County.
You are also a lifetime member of the National Rifle Association. You're a certified NRA instructor, and that's an important thing for you, the Second Amendment.
Yes, sir, it is. I became an NRA instructor in 1993, and I've spent 24 years training officers from all over this country in handgun, shotgun, and precision rifle courses. And the NRA, I'm so grateful for their opportunity. They recognized my contributions, and they assigned me to the outreach committee. And I spent several months going across this country, actually a year and a half going across this country, trying to change the perceptions that people have been falsely presented about the NRA. It's not some right-wing organization. It's an organization that is dared to defend our Second Amendment, because I have learned and they have learned that if we lose the Second Amendment, Todd, we're going to lose the First Amendment, and I'm not ready for that.
No. And as a person who makes his living, and I own the News Talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, I believe that the Second Amendment protects my rights as a broadcaster, as a journalist, to get our opinions out on the air. So that Second Amendment is very important.
Absolutely. And I think people listen to the message, and it's the same message, but it's coming from a different person. So now we have been able to open the eyes of people, and they assigned me to a second committee assignment, education and training. I spent 24 years training police recruits, so that's my background. And the NRA has said, look, we want your education and training committee to also go around the country and teaching people, marksmanship, handguns, safety. And so I'm excited to be able to do all those things at the NRA.
I'm curious to know about your journey politically, how you became a Republican.
I've been a Republican my entire life. In 1981, Todd, I heard one of the most patriotic speeches, and I'm a sixth grader. I heard one of the most patriotic speeches that one could ever hear, and it was Ronald Reagan's inaugural address. And it was then I made my mind up, sixth, seventh grade, that I was going to serve my country. But it was in 1985, he made the statement that some people spend an entire lifetime wondering whether or not they made a difference in the world. Marines don't have that problem. It was in 1985 that I decided I was going to be a United States Marine, forego a football career. I did very well in football. I had a chance to play college football. But serving my country was more appealing to me, and I made that decision in 85. And at 17, I was earning the title, a United States Marine, graduated with honors and was promoted instantly, and had an opportunity to serve two tours in Japan and finish up conducting combat operations in the Middle East before I left the Marine Corps. So I had a very, very successful and promising Marine Corps career.
So what's interesting about DeSoto County, you guys are not only rock-solid Republican, you're rock-solid conservative Republican as well. And there's no Democrat in the race, so whoever wins the Republican primary pretty much become the sheriff of DeSoto County.
That is correct, sir. There's no Democratic candidate running for sheriff. It's this race will be decided today, and the winner of today's race will take office January. So the people of DeSoto County have listened to our message. We have touched every corner this county. I mean, we've had 53 meet and greets, been able to talk to. There's 110,000 registered voters here, and I think we have maybe touched 70,000 of them that they have come out and reached, and we had a great grassroots campaign. My campaign manager, I can tell you right now, she is a Rottweiler or a pit bull. She is just she's feisty, she's fierce, and she's that type of person that I needed to lead this campaign, because she did not cut corners, and we worked hard. She said there will not be anybody in this state that will outwork us. So she had the right guy, because I love working.
Thomas Tuggle for sheriff.org. That's Thomas Tuggle for sheriff.org. Folks, I would encourage you to go check out the website. And, Thomas, again, when you look at what's happening right across the state line, in Memphis. I think a lot of blacks in Shelby County and Memphis, Tennessee, are getting very disenchanted with the Democrat Party. I know that a group has started, a Republican group has organized in Whitehaven, Tennessee, which is a predominantly black middle class community. Are you seeing that as well? And what are you hearing? And why are people coming to the Republican Party?
Well, it's just the message. And the message is this. I've been talking this message going across, and I'm seeing a lot of that in this area. But one of the things that I have been telling people is that in order for us to defeat crime, in order for us to eliminate and eradicate it out of our communities, we've got to teach our younger generation to be more respectful and be proud of our flag. And I have always said this. If we can teach that younger generation, that generation that has turned to violence, if we can teach them to be proud of this country, it will make them feel like they are a part of something. And I have learned that if you feel like you are a part of something, you are less likely to destroy it. So we want them to be a part of this country, and they'll be less likely to destroy this country. So that's what we're working on, and it is working. People are listening. Moms and dads are being involved in their kids' lives. And I'm going to use this office as a sheriff, not only to as a platform to bring families together and preach patriotism, teach kids to say, quit reciting this sexually provocative and violent music and start reciting the national anthem. And let's see how we can turn this country around.
I like that. Well, Thomas, I know you're busy, and we really appreciate you taking a few moments for our national audience. I know there are a lot of people around the nation that are rooting for you and excited about the great work you're doing and will do as a sheriff. So good luck to you, and we'll see how the returns turn out.
Sounds great, Todd. Thank you for having me. God bless you, and God bless this amazing country.
All right. Thomas Tuggle, everybody. I had a chance to meet him at a Republican event. I spoke at the Reagan dinner and got the Spirit of Reagan Award, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he mentioned to me that he was looking at running for sheriff and really was impressed with his character and with the platform. And it's very clear that he has a plan, and he is going to implement that plan. More folks, I'm encouraged. We cover a lot of bad news on this program, but I'm telling you, if we're starting to crack through on some of these big issues in places like Memphis, and folks are finally realizing, you know what, the Democrat Party made us a lot of promises, and they didn't keep any of them. And it's time for a change. And I think people are ready for that change. Look, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're Asian American. It doesn't matter if you're Hispanic or black or white. We all want the same things, don't we? We want to be able to live the American dream. We want to be able to graduate and get a job and put down the down payment for the house, get married, start families. You want your kids to have a better life than you had. And many people around this country are living that dream, but many others are not, because they've been caught up in this Democrat Party plantation. And folks, I'm telling you, if you want to be a success in life, if you want to be able to live your American dream, you cannot be reliant upon the federal government for anything. You've got to be able to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and you've got to do for you. And when you are able to do that, then you're going to be a success. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your circumstances. I mean, look at some of the incredible stories out there of people who had nothing, and now they're multimillionaires. They live in beautiful homes. Now, is that the ultimate dream for a lot of people? Yeah, it is. Now, those of us who are people of faith, we understand there's much more than that. But I'm telling you right now, If we can break through, if we can start reaching out to that next generation of young people, young Americans, and show them what being a Republican is about, and again, showing them really what being a Republican is about. We don't need rhinos. We don't need establishment types. We don't need to be raising up the next generation of country club Republicans. We need to be raising up a generation of self-sufficient Americans who love this country and want to fight for this country. That's what we need. So I'm excited about Mr. Tuggle there in South Haven, Mississippi. It's hard to imagine, but when I was a kid, you could literally rode my bicycle to to the Rexall drugstore, and you could sit there and, you know, they had the little counter where you could get like a sandwich, or you could sit there and read comic books all day. And we had the Big Star grocery store. We had the Stop and Go where Mom always got her Tab. Remember Tab in the pink cans? That was like the diet drink of the 70s. And Mom had the she had the AIDS. Remember those? Those are the diet. Those are the caramel diet candies. Remember those? AYDS. It was a very unfortunate name for a candy. But Mom was popping that. She was popping the AIDS and drinking the Tab like nobody's business. Oh, it was crazy. Good times. Good times. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Some of you ladies out there know exactly what I was just talking about. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, this story from Vicksburg High School in Michigan. So for years now, they've been holding a senior awards banquet at the high school. And the way they do it, somebody opens up with a word of prayer, and then they have dinner, and they say a prayer right before the dinner. We call that, at least in the southern states, saying grace, right? So we pray over our meal. You guys do that in the Midwest, too. So, and okay, most Christians pray over their meal. So we call it saying grace down here in Dixie. So anyway, so there was a parent, and the parent says, hey, look, we got a problem here. We're offended, and the reason we are offended is because we don't like this prayer. So they reached out to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is based in Wisconsin, and these people are just very mean people. They're a group of atheists and agnostics and free thinkers, and they fired off this nasty letter to the school district. So anyway, they were very upset, especially that the name of Jesus Christ was referenced in the prayer. Now, I don't mean to trigger all of you godless heathen atheists out there. And yes, I know that was redundant, but it is what it is. But when we pray as Christian people, we pray in the name of Jesus. Anyway, the out-of-town atheist, they say the school district crossed the line with the prayers and they showed favoritism toward the Christian faith. Well, I would sincerely disagree with that. I mean, if a Christian is praying, they're going to pray in the name of Jesus, right? I mean, if you're going to pray in the name of Buddha, you're going to pray in the name of Buddha, or, you know, Hindu, whatever. Whoever Vivek Ramaswamy prays to, he will pray to his deity, right? That's just who we are. Look, if you're Muslim, you're going to pray to, you know, Allah or whoever. Getting into the weeds here, so bear with me for a moment. So all that to say, the Christians praying in the name of Jesus is not all that unusual. Just going to throw that out there. So anyway, they fired off this letter, and they said, well, you can't do that. It's against the law, which it's really not, actually. According to the Department of Education, teachers and students do not shed their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse door. The school district said, look, we've been doing this for a long time. Nobody's ever complained about this. We don't know what's going on here. Oh, apparently there are a couple of Jewish families in the audience, and they took exception. Jesus was king of the, okay. I know, in the weeds again. So anyway, the school district, they had a chance. They could have fought this, and they could have won this case. But the school district, they said, whoops, our bad. Heaven help us. Whoops, sorry, didn't mean to say heaven. Sweet mercy. No, sorry, doesn't mean to say sweet mercy. Our apologies. So they apologized to the atheist, and they promised they would give Jesus the heave-ho. So now prayer no longer allowed at the senior awards banquet at Vicksburg High School. Look, folks, you got to stand up and you got to fight, right? That's the lesson of this show every single time. Look what happened in Huntsville, Alabama. They didn't go away quietly into the good night, right? No, they grabbed a folding chair and they had a come to Jesus moment. Well, you know, figuratively speaking. Well, not in Montgomery, that was real. But no, in Huntsville, they stood up and they fought. And that's what we have to do. All right, folks, got to scoot out of here. Be good, America.